Well, my sermon is, or I don't know, it's to call it a sermon, I even hesitate because we're using this DVD, and I don't preach in church with graphics or whatever, anything like that. But this is a little bit different, you know. We're doing a presentation on some issues here, and mine is on music. Now, that's a sensitive thing for some people. I mean, people get upset when you touch their music. And I'm the sort of person that's not very good at beating around the bush and stuff. But I want you to know that all of us have had to learn along the way. We've learned things that were, you know, we shouldn't be doing this, or we've learned something we need to change. And I remember a man years ago that asked me if I was homeschooling my children, and I really didn't know what it was, and I said no. And he said, "Why not?" And he very bluntly told me why I should. And then I said, "Yep, that's what I should do." So I was very, very thankful that he was very, very direct. And I'm a very direct person. And, you know, today I might ruffle some feathers, but I'm not trying to attack you. You know, when we preach God's word and we preach it with the zeal we feel, it's because we care about you. We care about the flock which Christ hath purchased with his own blood. But most we care about his glory and his honor. So we'll look at worship, and we'll pray first. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that many hearts might be touched, not just here, but other people hear these messages in other places and even other lands. And Lord, we pray that the result of this message would be the further sanctification of thy church, Lord, where it's needed, and a coming away from the world and being separate, and a spiritual growth, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that the individuals listening would realize where my heart is on this. Certainly there would have been a time when I would have thought, well, that man is, he's probably going a little overboard on that. It seems like an important thing. But then when I heard the scriptures that we're going to be looking at, I hope I would have said, no, he wasn't going overboard. This is very, very serious. So we pray for thy blessing upon this presentation, and being the end of the day, Lord, we pray that we would be alert and just be refreshed, Lord, as we listen and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the title of my message is Worship, Which is Acceptable to God, a Biblical Response to the Ungodly Practices of the Contemporary Church. So perhaps I ought to sort of give a, what can I call it, a rough definition of what the contemporary church is. Well, let me do that by telling you what the true church is. The true church is one which is separated unto the Lord from the world. It's a sanctified body of believers. It's pilgrims and strangers in this world who strive to please the Lord. That's what's on their mind. They want to please the Lord. That's what's on their heart, not men. They're concerned with pleasing the Lord. And they strive together for the faith of the gospel against error. And the true church puts emphasis on the preaching of the word of God and on sound doctrine. And the true church seeks to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the true church submits to and is regulated by the word of God in all things. Now, a contemporary church is just what it sounds like. It's a man-centered church where the emphasis is on appealing to the contemporary culture. Now, such a church, of course, uses carnal methods and means which are popular with the culture, the unregenerate masses, and what Paul calls craftiness. That's what they use, craftiness, and the wisdom of men to supposedly evangelize and to build the church. And so you're going to find casual dress is the norm on the Lord's Day, a casual style. They're moving away from sermons, certainly sermons of any depth. Maybe a skit is in order in those churches sometimes, and dramas. And of course, then you have contemporary so-called Christian music. Now, there's so much we could say about the contemporary church movement and scene, but my topic is that church's music, or rather it's a biblical response to that church's contemporary music. Now, contemporary Christian music ranges from what could be called easy listening, I think, or light rock, all the way over to this heavy metal. I've seen it, seen videos of it, and we're going to show you a little bit of it, where you have these tattooed, pierced people, Mick Jagger wannabes, they're screaming out all these songs. It's demonic sounding. So you have the light rock, which quite frankly is usually featuring effeminate men and many times sensual women, singing man-centered songs that might not even contain anything about the Lord. Sometimes they mention him in passing. The way they do their music and the way it's approached is just as well if they don't mention him, really. But none of this is Christian music, and none of it's worship acceptable to the Lord. I mean, I can say that because of what the Bible says. It's just a grievous error. It's an affront to the Lord to call such music worship or Christian music. And it's all dangerous. Spiritual danger. There's such a thing as spiritual danger. People are aware of physical danger. Well, this is spiritually dangerous music. The scriptures say, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap eternal life." Now, it's been my experience that CCM and its attendant evils are often defended as first being necessary to keeping young people in church. We have to have this CCM, Christian Contemporary Music, because otherwise we're not going to keep the young people in the churches. That's one defense. And then secondly, it's defended as valuable to the saving of souls, a tool of evangelism. You know, the music draws the world toward Christ. Now, we heard all of this and much more, quite frankly, last summer when we witnessed in front of the huge Cornerstone Festival held down in Bushnell, Illinois. It's a rock concert, but there are many other evils involved. I won't get into that. But it's just this huge sort of a, excuse me, but Woodstock, not that kind of Woodstock where you are, out in the country. And we heard all of this, all these excuses, why it's necessary to have this CCM. But at the root of it all is a contempt for the gospel of Christ. That's what we heard over and over. Just a contempt for the gospel of Christ, a rejection of the sovereignty of God, and a misunderstanding of and a complete lack of trust in the work of the Holy Ghost in the salvation of souls. Now, what we heard over and over and over again is just preaching the word of God won't work in these times. I was a dinosaur. I was some sort of something from the past, a relic from the past. That doesn't work anymore. They even took me to task because you think, there you stand in a button-down shirt and dungarees, whatever that is, and you think these kids are going to relate to you and you're going to do a good gospel work. Oh, how foolish. And that's the sort of attitude. There's no confidence in the Word of God. Just preaching the gospel doesn't work. But, you know, when people say that, they're showing where they stand with the Lord. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And so when they're saying it's foolishness, I'm saying you need Christ. Because you've just revealed your own spiritual state. We saw a nice-looking, modestly dressed youth, thankfully listening to us and not mocking so much, mixed with tattooed, pierced, punky, ungodly dressed men and women, immodestly dressed women. These are supposed to be Christian young people. There we were with our signs and, of course, our tracks and sharing one-on-one and one-on-50 at a time because they came swarming out. Signs like worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, Cornerstone dishonors God, things like that. We had things thrown at us. We were cursed. People swerved cars at us. They railed at us. We were told by some very scripturally illiterate people such things as Paul said, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. It's right there in the Bible. And I heard that a number of times. Just got an email with that very thing. Now, since then, Cornerstone officials have lied about us. I've been getting one email after another from Cornerstone fans. Blogs have been filled with mocking and name-calling, as have the emails. Why? I will tell you why. Because we have touched a pagan idol. That is why. They love their pagan idol. They love their false god. And that's what we heard over and over. But I love Cornerstone. I love this music. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. They did all but stand around us and chant. Now, this is the ungodly heart of CCM, and it's exposed when you stand against it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, you may have contemporary Christian music in your church, and you think, well, I don't think it's a bad thing. Come to Cornerstone. You'll find out what it is. These kids get alone together, and they show the fruit of this. Now, due to time constraints, I can't read you lyrics from contemporary Christian songs, whether the easy listening or the heavy metal type. And I can't talk about the artists and go on and, you know, talk about them and their character. And I can't give evidence of the spiritual danger and evil fruit. In other words, I'm not going to go through a bunch of testimonies about people that have gotten wrapped up in this and what this all produces. But rather, it's my intent to share what the Word of God teaches about worshiping the Lord, using music, worship which is acceptable to the Lord. And what I'm going to share from the Scriptures is going to be rejected by those idolaters who love their music. It'll just be rejected. Those are the times we're in. We're going to read the Scriptures. They're going to just reject what the Scriptures say because they're serving their flesh rather than the Lord, which they say has bought them. And of course, we all think in times like this of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, before we go any further, before we go to the Scriptures and give a biblical response to Christian contemporary music by letting the Bible speak, I'm going to show a short excerpt from a Cornerstone promotional DVD. Those who do not want their children exposed to this, it's hardcore rock and roll. You've got a few minutes to take them into the cry room if you want. I mean, that's how strong I feel about this sort of music, how bad it is. I want you to keep in mind, please keep in mind two things as you watch this DVD presentation. Keep in mind a couple of things. After we watch the DVD, I'm going to just give what really will be a brief review of what the Scriptures put forth as defining worship acceptable to the Lord. I mean, I can't do a lot of preaching because we're just going to run through a number of verses. And I'm going to ask God to do a work in your heart with it. Now, some of you may wish to interpret the Word of God subjectively and broadly as possible in the name of so-called Christian liberty. That is not Christian liberty. You're in bondage. That's not Christian liberty. I mean, you're in bondage to idolatry. You're in bondage to your flesh. You're focused on man, not God. You're focused on the creature, not the Creator. You're focused and caught up in the lust of the flesh, not the things of the Spirit. We think of Romans chapter 16, 17 through 18. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own appetites. And this is the part I wanted to get to in this case. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's the foundation of this sort of thing, this Christian contemporary music, and many of the errors in the church today. These corrupt Bible translations from a corrupt text, and so on and so forth. Good words and fair speeches. And people, quite frankly, that maybe want to be deceived. Now, the second thing I want you to keep in mind is this. What you're going to witness on this Cornerstone DVD, this sort of music, it's not an anomaly. It's not an exception to the rule. Many, 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 many young people, and not so young, unfortunately, are hooked on this sort of music. And listen, the softer CCM and the justification for it, because you're going to see this, you're going to say, that's the hard stuff. Well, the softer CCM is the soil from which this evil, God-dishonoring plant draws its nutrients. It's rooted in that. It's just like with the Bible translation issue. Someone says, I use the NIV. I would never use the gender, whatever it is, neutral RS, Revised Standard Version anyway. Or the New Revised Standard Version. So I wouldn't use that. Or I would never use the Message, Eugene Peterson's Message. But you see, you're using the NIV. And they're just kissing cousins. And you've just taken this step and justified that step. So this is what we're going to see. And these young people at Cornerstone, by the way, insisted over and over that the music and the performance that you're about to see It's not the worst music at Cornerstone. It's right up there. But they kept insisting, this is honoring to the Lord, and it does give him the glory. You know why? Because they felt it did. They felt it did. To them, they would always say, well, to me, it's music honoring to God. And see, that's the age we're in. To me. Here's what the Bible says. Well, sure, but see, to me, it does give God glory. To me, this is worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. To me, this is something that honors God. So let's play that DVD. It'll just take a second, maybe. It's about 4 minutes. I wanted to give you a good dose, and then I'll come back. You can't help but think of Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Who are they serving? Are they serving the Creator or the creature? And this is said to be Christian music and glorifying to God. Now, I'm not here today to take the world to task for its music. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to condemn all secular music. I'm not here for that. I'm here today to condemn so-called Christian contemporary music and air what the Bible has to say about worshiping the Lord. But for the most part, what I'm going to do is just give you scripture. I realize we've been at this all day, and I have so many scripture verses. I had a choice to make, just take a few verses and preach on it, or just give you a number of verses and perhaps not preach so much. That's what I'm going to do, because the Bible has so much to say about how we worship God. So we're going to give you some scripture. And the Bible will speak to those who desire to find out what pleases God, not find a way to please themselves. We pray the Lord will speak through His Word. Now, I believe this is an issue that needs to be addressed. This is incredibly important. I've been very active in the pro-life movement, as you know. And I continue to stand up against abortion. But so many Christians are willing to accept anything for whatever good cause is popular. I remember when that good cause wasn't popular. Now it's popular. And they'll accept anything. There's a group called Rock for Life. Oh, what wonderful people. And you see, these things are important. And we need to address them. And those young people are important. And they need to be preached to and reached out to and warned. Now, the sense of the word worship in the Bible is very important. And the sense is to bow down before God, to do reverence to Him, to prostrate yourself in homage before Him as an omnipotent King. Because that's what God is. He's an omnipotent King. He's our omnipotent King. And to worship God has to involve exalting Him and humbling man. And we don't worship God, and I want to stress this, to evangelize men. We worship God to worship God. It's not necessarily, and it isn't, I don't believe, an evangelistic tool. Worship is to worship God. Now, Christian contemporary music is focused on men. Do I have to stress that after what you just saw? And if this would have been this light kind of music, it would have been the same thing. Someone up front with the microphone cupped in their hands and, you know, putting on their act, their show, the so-called worship team up front and everybody looking at them and they're glad in the end that everyone's looking at them. Proper worship is focused on God. And proper worship humbles us because we're considering the greatness and glory of God. And it gives glory to God. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Now, these people you just saw, and it's just symptomatic of Christian contemporary music, and we use the word Christian, of course, just for identification. I don't believe it is Christian. They're not giving glory to God. They're giving glory to themselves. And God says, I won't give my glory to another. God will not accept this sort of worship. God's glory includes His holiness, His righteousness, His omnipotence, His majesty, His beauty, His hatred of evil, His judgments, His mercy, His love. And we're to give the Lord the glory due unto His name. It says in Proverbs or Psalm 29:2, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, How do we worship the Lord? Go to the Bible and study it. How did they worship the Lord? What sort of words did they use? Go to the Psalms. Find out how they worship the Lord and how we're supposed to worship the Lord. When I say they, I mean the people at that time. The church of God, beloved and chosen, Old Testament and New. And go to the examples of worship in the Scripture, such as the Song of Moses, which exalts God and it praises Him. It tells of His deliverance of the Israelites. Go to the Song of Deborah and see how that praises the Lord for the avenging of Israel against her foe. And go to Revelation, where you read this, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Give the Lord the glory due his name." God's glory includes the things spoken of here. God. Glory includes His just and true ways. God's glory includes His holiness, as it speaks of here, and His marvelous works. Now, when David brought the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem, he sang a psalm found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm just going to give you a few parts of that psalm. I'm going to jump through it. But note the words of this. Note how he gives God glory, speaking of God's attributes and His works. "Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works." And again he says, "Remember the marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." And further he says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation." And then he says, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations." And further on, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." His judgments, His wonders, His salvation, His marvelous works, His glory, His salvation, His mercy. Read the whole thing tonight. We need to give glory unto God in our songs. 1 Chronicles. Thank you. I've made the standard mistake I make time after time. Did I say Corinthians? Chronicles, chapter 16. Psalm 66:2, to further explain the importance, to show the importance of what it means to give glory to God. "Sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious." This isn't about singing about a relationship between, you know, me and God, and it sounds like it could be between me and a woman or me and whatever it is, the way these songs are. We're talking about God. Give honor to His name. Psalm 51:14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Psalm 104:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty." Psalm 96:6, "Honor and majesty are before Him, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." This is the worship music of the Bible that's focused on God and the glory of God. And worship must be undertaken with reverence toward God, which is my second point. You know, Jesus condemned the people that drew nigh unto Him with their mouth and honored Him with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. It's important, the state of our hearts, as we come near unto God. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts," the Bible says. Treat Him as holy in your heart. Psalm 89:7. "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him." Psalm 95:6, "O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Hebrews 12:28-29, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." I'm giving you an outline from the Bible for worship. And we need to look at these things and say, what does it mean to be reverent toward God? What does it mean to have godly fear? What does it mean to give God glory and speak of all of His marvelous works? What do these things mean, really and truly mean, from the Scriptures? And then go to the Psalms and you'll see. Worship also is to be in the beauty of holiness. That's what the Scriptures say in several places. Now, beauty and holiness is not simply in the eye of the beholder. And the Scriptures say, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, worship acceptable to God will be disliked and rejected by the world and worldly Christians. I mean, if the worship is acceptable to God, I guarantee you, if you go out into the culture today and they would hear how we worship, it would not be acceptable to them. Part of this is, of course, it's not acceptable in the church, but part of this and the problem in the church is the pastors. And it was the same problem in the days of Ezekiel. And it says in Ezekiel 22:26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Profane music has been brought in among the Lord's people and into the church. An unholy, unclean thing. And pastors are not teaching, unfortunately, the difference between the holy and the profane, the clean and the unclean, that which honors God and gives Him glory, and that which gives man glory and satiates his fleshly desires. We cannot worship God acceptably if we use worldly methods and worldly music. John, 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Next, worship must be spiritual, not worldly again. Spiritual. Worship is to be spiritual. John chapter 4, verse 25, or 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's not like the world. And God is spirit. God is full of holiness. God is righteous. God is filled with wisdom and justice and truth. And those who worship God acceptably must first be spiritual men, born from above, born of the Spirit. And secondly, we must worship Him in a way consistent with the nature, His nature. We must worship Him in a way consistent with the nature of the one whom we're worshiping. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Contemporary Christian music is the things of the earth. The whole point of it is, before we were saved, we liked this kind of music. We liked rock and roll. We liked whatever it is. Now we're saved. Do we have to give that up? Couldn't we just Christianize it? And, you know, then we could continue to enjoy what we enjoyed in the world. Well, if you're truly in Christ, those tastes should be leaving you. If they're not leaving you, there's a problem. If you're not changing your tastes, if the Holy Spirit isn't doing that work in your life, there's something wrong. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it says, be filled with the Spirit. And then the next thing it says, if you're filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The CCM music scene, it's all of the flesh. And the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that ye would. So if you're going to feed your flesh with this sort of music, you will suffer damage and loss. And the churches that use it suffer damage and loss. Next, worship must be scripturally based and doctrinally sound. You know, we're not just worshiping because let's worship, let's sing something that makes us feel really good, just gets us in the mood or something, so to speak. It should be scripturally based and doctrinally sound. It's very important what you sing. And worship should make Christians stronger and more mature in the faith. And they worship should instruct them in the ways of God. It's very interesting to see what songs people like. There's a lot of hymns I won't sing in our church. All they are is you know, there's some woman wants to sing them because they make her cry. It just touches a, you know, some emotion in her heart and makes her cry. Or some man wants to sing it just because, you know, he likes the tune or something. It has to be scripturally based and doctrinally sound. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Music should teach us. Music should instruct us, this music we use to worship God. Next, music must be done with words and with our minds as well as our hearts. You know, the words that we do use in worship are of primary importance, not the music. I pick hymns based on the words first. If there's a nice, you know, if the music with it is something that's really easy to sing to or something, I mean, obviously not contemporary music, but you know what I'm saying. That's great. But the words are of first importance. You don't pick the song or the hymn because you like the music and I think I can get along with the words. You look at the words first. They're of primary importance. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Words are important. Psalm 47, verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. The words of the hymn or the psalm that we sing, they're important and they instruct us and they should build us up. And our words are important to God. Let your speech be always with grace, it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Seasoned with salt that you may know how to answer every man. You know, our speech is to be filled with grace and seasoned with salt. Of course, our worship should be the same way. And the scriptures say we should shun profane and vain babblings. That's what you were watching on the screen, by the way. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. This sort of thing promotes ungodliness. And I include the sort of soft, man-centered contemporary Christian music as well. And next, worship must be orderly and peaceable. Orderly and peaceable. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. I know the context of the scripture verses I'm using, but I'm not taking them out of the context in the sense that, in this case, these are applicable. It says all things must be done decently and in order. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, prior to that, says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I'm giving you an outline for music. Then you have to look at it. And you have to think about these words. Words are important. This is why we have all these dynamically translated Bible versions. Because the words aren't important to people. It's just, what was God thinking? But every word of God is pure. And God has preserved every word. And the words are important. Next, worship must be helpful to the sanctification of Christ's body, the church, as a people for his own possession. You know, we live in a corrupt world. We're surrounded by all sorts of corruptness. It affects us. Evil communications corrupts good manners. And I mean, we avoid evil communications, but you're out in the world, and there's a little bit of that in one sense, that you're mingling, and you go out to your jobs, and so on and so forth. And we have a need to be sanctified in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirits. The music should be a help to sanctify us, to mortify our flesh, to rid us of this affection for the world. Because the scriptures say that we're strangers and pilgrims. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And so worship should be part of the sanctification of Christ's body, the church, because we're a people for his own possession. I remember when I was first saved, I was a farmer at that time, and I just left the radio on those rock and roll channels. I mean, not the kind of stuff that came along later, but I mean the 60s type stuff. And then little by little, it started to bother me. I thought, no one told me, but the Holy Spirit told me. I don't think I should probably be listening to this all the time. So that was the end of that. Then the next thing, I was exposed to Christian contemporary music, not like that stuff, but it was a rock power praise or something, and you could really hear the words. And what they did is they took hymns, so the words were good, but they put them to rock music. And I thought, well, that's probably pretty good, you know, because the words are good. I was concerned with the words first, with the old rock and roll. Words are no good, I thought. This is no good. Didn't realize the music mattered. So then I thought, well, this is good. Then you know what? The Holy Spirit convicted me. This is not good. This is not honoring to God. This is not good for me. And then that went. And that was years ago. And I thank the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I pray He'll work in the life of others with regard to this very, very important issue. Now, I'm going to close early. Because you've heard a lot of preaching today. And I just want to keep it very simple. I've given you the scriptures. There are many more like that. You cannot ignore these scriptures, and you dare not go and put your own spin or your own interpretation on these scriptures. God Himself wrote these scriptures. And you have to ask yourself, what does holiness mean, not to me, but to God? What does it mean to God to glorify Him? What does it mean to worship Him in the beauty of holiness? You have to ask yourself that. What is worship acceptable to God? Too many of the Lord's people, and many who are among the Lord's people, but not of the Lord's people, they can't grasp. I mean, it seems incomprehensible to them that God would not accept any and all worship they feel and they deem should be acceptable to God. Here I come. You know, it's like in Malachi, where they come and they make these crippled offerings. They're just getting by, and God doesn't accept them. Now, if you read in Isaiah 1, God doesn't accept those people's worship. But many people today say, well, I'm offering worship to God. Of course He accepts it. God's not a beggar. He doesn't lower Himself down to your level so He can get your worship. He will hold your worship in contempt if it doesn't glorify Him. And so many Christians say, well, you know, why wouldn't God accept my worship? Because I believe it's acceptable. And so they offer this worship, so-called, and then God's supposed to accept it simply because it's called worship and they offered it. The Israelites did that. They built a golden calf, and then they just very confidently incorporated it into their worship of Jehovah. But you know what? They were idolaters. And you know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I think it so aptly describes the contemporary Christian music scene all across the board. It says they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. People are playing at worshiping God. This is something that appeals to them, this sort of music. They sit down to eat and drink and they rise up to play. And so the Israelites worshiped God as they deemed was acceptable because it satiated their carnal desires. And what happened? God's wrath waxed hot against them. And this is exactly what Christian contemporary music is all about. It's all about idolatry. I'll just speak plainly. It's about idolatry. It's worship, which the natural man and the spiritually immature among God's people have deemed acceptable to God. Why? Because they've decided it is, and it appeals to their senses. Well, I will point you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. As a Christian matures in the Lord, when he learns the things that God loves, then he begins to love them. As he matures in the Lord, he learns to love the worship which God accepts, and he despises the worship which God despises. You know, when I was picking out this segment from this video, I was doing it myself, and I kept messing it up. I probably listened to that about 7 times. I lost 2 nights of sleep over that because that music kept, I didn't want it in my head. During the day, it wasn't there, and I'd start to drift off, and it would come into my head. It was like being tortured because this it just would come back in, and then I'd wake up, or I'd be awake. I'd be awake, and there it would be. I mean, we need to learn to despise it. And I did despise it. And that's why I couldn't sleep. It kept coming back and tormenting me. So we learn to love the things that God loves and worship in a way that God loves to have us worship. And this is evidence that the flesh is giving way to the spirit, that the Christian is spiritually maturing. Now, those in Christ, and I'll speak very plainly, those in Christ who insist, after all the scriptures we've given, and if they would go and study them and pray about them, if they insist on clinging to this contemporary worship music, they show themselves at best to be spiritual children. Spiritual children. And churches which employ contemporary Christian music, even in its milder forms, will go downhill spiritually. They will. And they'll become ever more worldly. So if there's someone here today that listens to Christian contemporary music, I would exhort you to put away that childish thing. Put it away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Put away that childish thing, that God-dishonoring, man-pleasing thing, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give Him the glory. Do unto His name. You know, you'll never regret it. You'll never, ever regret it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust Him in this. Honor Him. Make that the first thing, to honor Him, to give Him glory. Be concerned with your own sanctification and your own spiritual growth. Strive to be taught by the very things that you're singing, and to sing of the very things that God has done for His people throughout the ages. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give God the glory. Do His name.